Hello, this is Todd Starnes. I have the privilege of being the lead pastor at Odessa First Assembly, and this is our podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. I hope you enjoy this message, and I pray the Holy Spirit ministers to you. Remember, Scripture tells us in Philippians 2:13, "For it is He that works in us to will and to act according to His good purpose." And I pray that that work begins in you today.
So Philippians chapter 4, beginning in verse 4. Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice. Let everyone see that you are considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That is a key right there. As you live in Christ Jesus. Now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true, honorable, right, and pure, and lovely, and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. I don't know if you've ever seen the warning label. We should have a picture up there. Have you ever seen the warning label, contents under pressure? I tell you, when I was, I can't remember how old I was. I had to be maybe elementary school. I really can't recall. But when I grew up in Big Lake, all the extended family, we lived all right there together. And my grandmother and grandfather, they had many houses that most of their kids lived in, and other renters lived there. It was a pretty significant piece of a couple of blocks there. And so these new neighbors moved in, and they had boys kind of my age, and we started kind of running around. Well, one day we get this idea about trying to, well, I think it started off, we were trying to, you know, because we saw that label on a spray paint can, contents under pressure. We're like, would that explode if we shot it with our BB guns? And so we went on this mission trying to make stuff blow up with our BB guns. And so as with boys, it normally does, it just kind of gets a little further and you get in a little deeper. Anybody? You know, that's when that trouble kind of keeps, you know, you get a little further in. And so we're sitting there talking, and this other guy, he's like, I got an idea. And we're like, oh, he's got an idea. And he runs in his house, and he comes out with a shotgun shell. And I'm like, this does not look like a good idea. And I was like, I'll see y'all later. And I started walking home. And so I get just a few steps out, and I hear this explosion, this shotgun shell go off, and I hear two boys screaming like little girls. And so I run back, and so what they decided to do, there was a railroad tie in front of their house, and they put that shotgun shell inside that railroad tie, and then took a hammer and hit the shotgun shell. Thankfully, they have all their fingers and toes, but they had a few BBs stuck in their skin. And they learned a lesson, contents under pressure. Don't hit a shotgun shell with a hammer. Don't do this at home. You know, and I think maybe all of us would agree, we've met people like that, that they should have that warning label on them. Maybe we should buy them T-shirts, contents under pressure. Anybody ever know somebody like that? Stressed out. And I tell you what, during this season, I know I carry sometimes extra stress, but through the years, I've just met people that, especially not just in this season, but even it seems like where we are in culture, we just tend to carry so much of a greater load. So we feel so much more responsibility and pressure. And there's a well-known stress scale that's called the Holmes Stress Scale, which lists life's 100 most successful factors. And I included this in your notes because I really want you to catch hold of this. I know it's a very practical thing, but I want you to follow along with me. And I want you to see these statistics, and you can fill in the blank as we move along. But one of the things they find in that scale is that the most stressful time of year is from Thanksgiving to New Year's. And I think a lot of us feel that. There's so much going on. There's presents. There's money. Are we going to get the bonus? Are we not? We got to go spend all day with our family. Don't raise your hand, because some of you are sitting with family. I mean, parties and travel and relatives, and it just, the stress level really tends to go up exponentially. I mean, maybe, you know, 'tis a season to be uptight. I don't know. In Philippians 4, we see Paul write something. Always be full of joy in the Lord. Always be full of joy in the Lord. And then he goes on to say, I say again, rejoice. Some of our more literal translations, maybe King James or New American Standard, it tells us, rejoice, I say again, rejoice. And so how do we live life in that moment, in that place? And I really think it's very simple this morning, okay? This is not going to be like mind-blowing revelation. I'm just trying to give you tools to live by that will change your life. Anybody ready for that? So number one simply is this. Worry about nothing. Worry about, I mean, you're like, oh, wait, what? Really? Pump the brakes. I mean, I wanted to put it in my vernacular, don't worry about nothing, you know? Worry about nothing. I mean, that's exactly what this scripture says in Philippians. Look at it. Don't worry about anything. I mean, scripture tells us that. And so the question is, how do we worry about nothing? So look at this. Let's look at some of our, I was talking about that stressful time, that scale. Look at this. 40% of your worries never happen. 40% of your worries never happen. That's your first fill in the blank right there after point number one. 40% of your worries never. There is a 40% of them you don't even need to be a worry about, yet we worry about them. The second statistic, 30% of your worries concern the past. Worry can't change the future, and worry can't change your past. And already you understand that there are 70% of things you can do nothing about because it's either in the future or it's yesterday. The past is the past. It's over. It's gone. You can't control the future and you can't change the past. So 70% of your worries are worthless, and 12% of your worries are needless health concerns. I don't know, maybe if you've heard of the hypochondriac who had written on the tombstone, I told you I was sick. That'll land on some of you in just a second. 12% of our worries are needless health concerns. 10% of your worries are insignificant, petty issues. So think about this. Already 92% of your worries, our worries, are really not worth worrying about. Are you following me so far? 8% of your worries are actual and legitimate concerns. Of course, there are things about life that matter and that we think about, that we carry the weight of, but worrying still for those things doesn't change anything. It's stewing without doing. I mean, that's really what it is. We're going through this whole thought process, and there's really nothing that we can do about it. It is out of our control. The Bible gives us a promise or tells us something, instruction. Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. I mean, you got enough to contend with today, much less worry about what's happening tomorrow. What's happening tomorrow. And so here's something else I want you to think about. When Paul was writing this to the Philippian church, I mean, he's telling them, don't worry. He's telling them, rejoice always. I say again, rejoice. You got to understand something. I mean, we live in a culture, in a nation currently, where we still have a lot of religious freedom. We're not under the persecution that the believers were in the first century church. And I want you to just kind of put something into perspective. So here's this writing that where we are, it relates to us today. Rejoice always. I say again, rejoice. All, you know, always have that rejoicing. Lord, don't worry about tomorrow. Don't have those worries. I mean, you got to think what was happening in this moment when Paul was writing to the Philippian church. They were in the middle of life-threatening persecution. And Paul says, rejoice in the Lord. I say again, rejoice. He's writing to them, don't worry. This persecution, there is nothing that you can do about it. You may be involved in a circumstance to you. It may be real. It may be heavy. It may be difficult. But listen to me. In that moment, even though you feel like you're in the fire, even though you feel like you're in the tribulation and the trial of your life, you can still have joy in the Lord. I'm going to say it again. You can still have joy in the Lord. And there is still something to rejoice about. And so listen to me. This last thing to wrap this first point up. Worry is a subtle distrust of God. When you're worrying about something so many times, let me put it in this way, is that we can do something about it where God can't. That is not the way that it works. We're the ones, the majority of the time, that can do nothing about it. And it is God is the one that can intervene and shift and change and move. And so have trust in God. That even though you don't see the answer, have trust in God. Even though it may not feel like something's not happening, have trust in God. He's got your back. He does. God has your back. That's not even in my notes. That's for free. Look at your neighbor. Say, God's got my back. Number two is this. So the first one is what? Worry about nothing. Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, what? Number two, pray about everything. I mean, it's that simple. Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Look what our text says. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need. I mean, I hear so many, life is so busy, it's so hectic, it's so crazy, it's hard to find time to read my Bible, it's hard to find time to pray, but if you would use the time that you use in worrying and praying, it may shift your mindset. That was pretty good. If you would use the time, I'm going to tell you, hey, I'm not just pointing my finger at you. I know there's some fingers pointing back at me. I have been in a difficult place for what seems like forever. I really can't put a time on it. And through all of that, I went and got a physical. I went to my doctor. And, I mean, you know what it's like for a guy to get to go to a doctor when he's not sick, right? And so he does all of his stuff. And so I'm telling him what's going on. He's like, this still blows my mind. I'm still trying to piece this together. He says, I want you to go get a heart CT scan. He said, they're on sale. I was like, well, man, if it's on sale, I don't know how that works. And so I had a busy schedule, and I tell you, I'm thinking, I'm 45 years old, and I was like, so what is this scan going to tell me? He's just going to tell us if there's any hardening in your arteries. I'm like, what? I got hardening in my arteries? He's like, no, this is going to tell us. And so for the first few days after that, I was like, oh my goodness. I mean, what's going on? What's going on in my body? Is there something wrong? Am I going to have a heart attack tomorrow? You know, and so all those things start. Have you ever been there? Am I the only one? A few of you waving at me. And so finally last week I went and had this test done. And I just had to have the chipperest, best mood person ever in the medical field. I'm like, what are you so happy about? I'm getting a heart scan. And so I'm like, so tell me what's going on. And she says, well, you want to score a zero because zero's good. I was like, I've done that before. And she's like, 400's bad. And so anyway, I have this test done. And so I'm like, so then that worry kind of starts creeping back up. And then she says this, well, do you want to know your score? I'm like, you can tell me. I don't have to wait 2 weeks. She's like, no, we can tell you right now. I was like, I don't know if I want to know. And so I sit there and wait for them. And so they said, oh, this is great news. And 400's bad, 0's good. And so I scored a 0. Yes. My mama was so proud of that 0. But I really had to give it to God. Listen to me. When you pray, you need it. I know this is very simple, very elementary, but listen to me. I think we overlook it so many times. you need to tell God every detail. Yeah, I mean, really, I mean, if you're at a place in your life and you're like, man, I pray my guts out, you know, and I feel like, man, surely an hour has gone by. I look at my watch and it's been 3 minutes. Has you ever been there? I mean, really learn to have that communication with God where you are telling him, just like your best friend, about everything. It is that simple. And so, I'm going to give you something to remind you. I'm going to have some help this morning to kind of put this into your heart from MC Hammer. Are you ready? Look at the screen. Come on, turn it up. We got to pray just to make it today. I said we pray. Oh yeah, we pray. We got to pray just to make it today. Okay. Anybody remember that song? You got to pray just to make it today. Give God every... I mean, if you're not going to listen to Paul, listen to MC Hammer. You know what I'm saying? Tell God every detail of your life. There's two important aspects of prayer. Listen to me. This is very important. Number one is this. Prayer gives you the opportunity to release the contents under pressure. If you don't hear anything I say else all morning, you need to get a hold of these two things I'm about to tell you. Is that when you have that time in prayer and you're giving everything to God and you're telling him every stress, every good thing, every victory. I mean, you're just having that communication with God. There's something that happens that you get to release and relieve yourself of that pressure and that stress and that anxiety. And if there is no other good reason for prayer, I'm going to tell you it is that. To have that relief in your life, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians. Well, you know, as I was thinking about this, going on to the next one, is that the very first verse I ever memorized was 2 Corinthians 5:17. And it's, if you meant to be in Christ, it's a new creation. You know, the old is gone and everything becomes new. I'm going to say the second scripture I ever memorized was 1 Peter 5:7. And that's going to be on the screen. It says this, give all your worries and cares to God, because he cares about you. Not only does that prayer time, it gives you that opportunity to release all that junk that you're carrying, you can also just cast it all, give him those worries, give him those cares. And listen, when the scripture, when it says give, some of them were little translations, say cast, you cast it. What the literal thing is happening there, if you look at the Greek, it is this, it is to drop it. When you read that verse, that's really what it means, to drop it, to drop that stress, to drop that anxiety, to drop it, and to give it to God, for he cares about you. And the second part of prayer is this, when you're telling God everything, when you're telling God everything that you need, and you're having that communication with him, this is also very, very, very important. You need to take time in your prayer time to listen. You need to take time in your prayer time to listen. The listening part of prayer will bring refreshing to you. And I think sometimes what happens is we get done and God's not done. Right? We give it all out to God and then God's like, let me pour back into you, but we're already done, ready, walked out the door and going about our day. If we would take those few moments and just allow God to refresh us, just to wait. I mean, sometimes I do it with music, sometimes I don't. There's really no formula, but there are many, many days when I go to the Lord in prayer, and then I just wait. I just wait, and I listen. And you know what? Sometimes I don't hear anything. Sometimes that I do. But I tell you this, every time that I wait, I walk out strengthened. I walk out rested. I walk out refreshed. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 40:31, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. Worry and prayer cannot coexist. Did you hear me? Worry and prayer cannot coexist. When you go to that prayer time, give it all to God. Allow God just by his spirit just to refresh you and bring strength to you. Bring that sustenance that you need in your spiritual life. It'll transform your life. Number three is this. Thank God for all that he has done. We read the scripture in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need, and look what it says, and thank Him for all that He has done. I'm going to tell you, there's two things that can happen here. I meant to talk about this a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't get to it, but I want to kind of go there this morning. Thanking God after He gives something is gratitude, right? I mean, we know that when He does those things in our life, He does that work in our life. He shifts, He changes things, He answers, He provides whatever it is. And so when we're like, thank you, God, for this you've done in my life, that's giving Him that gratitude. But then there's thanking God before He gives it. And I'm going to tell you, that is called faith. You can thank God before you get the answer. Did you know that? You can thank Him before you get the answer. You can worship Him before you get the answer. Do you know why that you can do that? You can do that because He is God. He is God. And when we simply thank Him for who He is the answer to all those prayers. I want to just digress just for a moment and remind us of a scripture. It's in Matthew 6, 9. It's the Lord's Prayer. Many of us know this prayer. We recited it, you know, if you ever played sports, you recited this, you know, before the game or whatever for that spiritual moment or after, whatever the case may be. This is like labeled by us the Lord's Prayer. I really think the Lord's Prayer is more John 17, I mean, when He's interceding for us. But what He tells the disciples is this, is to pray like this. Our Father in heaven, may Your name be kept holy. May Your name be kept holy. Let me talk to you just for a moment about that holy. What that holy means is complete. Did you know that God is complete? Did you know that God, He doesn't lack in one thing and is more in another? God is equal in everything of who He is. I mean, the Bible tells us what? That God is love. Right? We know that. And so all the attributes of God are equal with that love. If He was less than one thing and more than another, then He'd be like us and not God. But He is who He is, and He is God. And He's equal in all of that. And so when we say this, it means to separate. When it's talking about pray like this, our Father in heaven, may Your name be kept holy. What it's talking about here is to separate His name from everything else. Right? Because there's no one like God. And there is no one like Him. There's no one that can do what God can do. There's no one that can speak into eternity. There's no one else that holds the world in the palm of His hand. There's no one else that can do what God, that has the power that God has, that has the knowledge that God has. And so when you come to that time in your prayer, and you're praying, right, because that's what we're talking about, is that you just, how you get through, how you give thanks in that difficult time is to find those places in prayer where you're telling God everything, and part of that, what that is you telling God who God is. Now let me tell you something. God doesn't need to hear from you. God knows who He is. But there is something that happens in us, in our spirit, when we remind ourselves who God is. Do you hear me this morning? And so that's where worship comes from. That's where thanksgiving comes from. That's where giving thanks come from. And a simple way is if you go through in the Old Testament, we see something very special. We see God revealing Himself in many different ways, right? Just understand something, is that probably if God just downloaded all who He was and we just had this tremendous knowledge of everything about God, I would dare say we might not could handle it. And so He revealed Himself in the Old Testament in pictures and in segments. And one way He did that is called the compound names of God, the Jehovah names. And maybe some of these you remember, Jehovah Jireh. Ever heard that said before, Jehovah Jireh? That what that means is that the Lord will provide a sacrifice, the Lord will provide. Abraham was taking Isaac to sacrifice him, and Isaac kept asking, where's the sacrifice, where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, the Lord will provide, And I'm just thinking, okay, yeah, I'm thankful the angel intervened there and provided the lamb in a thicket, but was Isaac and Abraham's relationship the same after that? Sorry if I just went a different way, but But we get the name Jehovah Jireh from that. How many of you have experienced God's provision in your life? And that gives you something when you go to prayer. God, I know I'm in this moment where I need a provision. My hours have been cut. My salary has been cut. But you haven't been laid off yet. Hello? I mean, take the blessing where you can get it, right? And recognize the blessing. And we're in that moment. And what we do, Lord, I remember back here when that check came out of nowhere, when there was a knock on my front door and there's some groceries on my doorstep. I'm going to tell you, God still does that stuff. And you can thank Him for it. You can give thanks to God because He is a provider. Or Jehovah Rapha, the Lord God, our healer. The Lord was given a promise to the children of Israel. They had just come out of Egypt, right? All the plagues happened in Egypt, and God brings them out. And God's speaking to them. He said, hey, listen, those diseases that fell on the Egyptians, they're not going to fall on you because I'm the Lord God, your healer. I'm the one that heals you. And if you're in that moment where you need that healing power of God, then you thank Him. God, thank you that you're the Lord God, my healer. And so that gets you to a place of giving thanks, of giving that worship. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord God, our banner. He's the Lord God, our peace. We're going to talk more about in just a moment. He is the Lord God, our shepherd. He's one that guides us, protects us. He is our righteousness. I really like Jehovah Shema. He's the Lord that is ever present. He is the God that, remember Jesus said, I'll be with you always, even in the end of age. I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. Why? Because He's Jehovah Shema. He's the Lord God that is ever present. You may be in the darkest trial of your life, but God is there. You may not know which way to turn, but God is there. You may have got news you didn't want to hear, but God is there. You may be living through a hell that no one else knows about, but I'm going to tell you, you are not alone. God has promised that He'll never leave you nor forsake you, and He is ever present. He is there. He is there. And so when we thank God for who He is, how many times have we talked about this? It gets your eyes off the circumstance. It gets your heart off the circumstance, and it gets them on God. And so the circumstance gets smaller, and God gets magnified. And we magnify the name of the Lord. Number four is this: fix your thoughts on truth. We're going to skip down to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. It says, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing, fix your thoughts on what's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. You see, here, I don't know the way you're wired. I mean, you may be wired different than me. You're like, yeah, I am, Pastor. Don't worry about it. Okay, so you ever, I get this a lot, you know, because a pastor, you know, I want to connect with somebody. And so, matter of fact, it happened earlier in the week, and I reached out to somebody. I just want to visit with them, you know. And so I just, hey, you want to get together? I just want to visit with you. And so after the fact, I was talking to his spouse, and she said, oh, he was flipping. He's like, why did Pastor contact me? Why does he want to meet with me? Did I do something wrong? You know, and I get that a lot. And, you know, when somebody, you know, a shepherd or somebody you respect wants to reach out, you're like, why do they, what'd I do wrong, right? You know, sometimes that's the way you process things. And the reason that is because sometimes our mind gets far ahead of us than what's really going on. We create this scenario, and has anybody ever had the argument with your spouse in your mind before you had it with your spouse, and then it's like there's not even really anything wrong, but now there is something wrong, and you walk in the house, and you're like, it's your fault, and they're like, what, you know? I used to give Angela a hard time. I'll just pick on her a second, because it's fun. When she can be out of a conversation with somebody, and then you have a conversation with somebody, and then come back to them and be right on subject, man, and not miss a beat, and jump back in this conversation. She can't find her van keys right now. But can she, I mean, she cannot see somebody for 2 weeks and jump right back in the conversation as having 2 weeks ago. And when we were first married, sometimes we'd be in a conversation, the car would be dead quiet, and she would say something like, that didn't make any sense whatsoever. I'm like, what are you talking about? You know, because she's already had this entire conversation in her head. And so many times we do that, and that's how worry creeps in. We're like, what are they going to say? What are they going to tell us? Well, I'll tell you what I'll tell them. You know, right? No, think on what's true. Think on what's right, what's honorable, what is pure. If you would shift the way that you think about things, and not even go into those mental arguments or you know, if they say this, I'm going to say that. If they say this, I'm going to say that. If they say this, I'm going to say that. I mean, just push that aside and think about what's right. But also think about this. See, the enemy is lying to you and who you are. But there is a truth of God about who you are. And the enemy wants you to think that you're miserable, that everything's awful, you're a terrible person, that you don't measure up. Yet what God says about you in His Word is that you're His masterpiece in Ephesians 2:10. He says you're His workmanship. The Bible says that He knit you together in your mother's womb, and you are special to God. And God doesn't love you less just because you make mistakes. Why? Because God is love. Fix your thoughts on truth. And you know, none of us have the potential that we use our brain fully. But I have seen it. I have seen, like, now, just so even this morning, I was kind of scrolling through Facebook, and I saw another news source post something. I've seen, like, this 5 or 6 times this week, that if you would shift and become grateful, you start saying thank you, you start giving thanks, and you start doing that, how it rewires your brain from the negative to the positive. Aren't we fearfully and wonderfully made? Feed into your mind and to your heart who God says you are. Because the way you think will determine the way that you feel, and the way that you feel will determine the way that you act. If you want to change your life, then change what you're thinking about. And that really leads me to kind of 2 promises with this. And it's 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5. And it tells us to take every thought captive. Sometimes that's exactly what you got to do. I know I'm of any visual people. I'm a visual person. When anybody's talking to me, I cannot tell you how many times I've heard a preacher preaching, and he talks about all, you know, he gets this revelation in the shower. I'm like, no. I don't know why God always talks to me in the shower. I'm just going to tell you, God has not talked to me in the shower as of yet on most cases. Anyway, sorry. But I'm a visual person, the way that I picture things. And I mean, I sometimes think through this process, man, when that thought gets stray and I start thinking about something and processing about something, I don't know how to lasso, but I wish I did. But that's what I think about. I picture myself on this horse. And I got the lasso going. I'm like, doggy. Come back here. Maybe you're a visual person, but you need to quit those thoughts running loose in your mind and your heart. The second one is this, Romans 12:2. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you, a new person, by changing what? The way you think. The way that you think. And I'm going to figure some way to bring it back to this verse, Philippians 2:13. For it is God that works in you to act. He works in you to change the way that you act, and that way of thinking we have, and we act out and His good pleasure. And where it begins is inside of our heart. That's that alone moment. Remember, we're in prayer time. We're telling God about everything. God is refreshing us. And then what happens, it comes out of your spirit. It flows out of your spirit, and it'll actually impact the way that you see things, the way that you think about things. You'll start seeing the revelation of God's Word will start going up. Have you ever been reading God's Word, and maybe there's something you've read 10 times over, the next time you read it, you're like, whoa! You know why that is? It's because God is renewing your mind. God is shifting the way that you see things and what you believe about things. And so don't copy the behaviors and customs of the world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way that you think. Then you'll know and learn what God's will for you is. And the last thing is this. I didn't forget about it. I skipped over it for a reason for this moment right now. And it's really not disappoint, but it's in our closing. And it's Philippians 4:7. I love this verse. I love this promise. I don't know that I could function in life without this promise in Philippians 4:7. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and your minds as you live in Christ Jesus. That's such a powerful promise. It's amazing to me what people do to try to find peace. I mean, look at our culture, friend. I mean, what people do to find peace is astounding. You're not going to find it in a substance. You're not going to find it in entertainment. You're not. I'm gonna tell you. I love my family. You're not going to find it in friends and family. There's only one place you're going to find it, and that's living in Christ Jesus. And this promise to me is so powerful because, I mean, the way I have it memorized is that peace will, you know, that transcends all understanding. And what that speaks to me is this, is that you will have the peace of God when it makes no sense for you to have peace. Just on that promise, I tell you what, I'm grateful to be a believer. Because I got something to fall on and to stand on that this world needs. And they look at you and you're like, how? And really, it's a witnessing opportunity because they see your life. They see what you're facing. They see what you're going through. And everybody else they've seen in that moment, they've blown up like an atomic bomb. I mean, they just blew up life and it's left carnage. But they look at you and they see a peace and they're like, how can you be so calm in this moment? How does that even happen? Because I'm living in Christ Jesus. I'm living in Christ Jesus. But this promise, there's something else there that I want to draw out to you. His peace that will guard you. It will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. There is no protector like Jesus. I'll just for a second close your eyes. Somebody needs to know that right now and hear it. Oh, Jesus. This is kind of blindsiding me, but I feel it's the Holy Spirit. There's someone here. You've been hurt over and over and over and over and over again. I don't know what it is. It may have been from a relationship. It may have been from parents growing up. It may have been from another church. But you've been hurt over and over and over and over and over again. I'm going to tell you right now that God will not hurt you. God will heal you. He's close, the Bible says, to the brokenhearted. He's close to the brokenhearted. He binds up, he heals, he mends the brokenhearted. Now look at me just for a second, because I want to point this out. It's that word guard, that he'll protect you. He'll guard your heart. He'll guard your mind. I mean, think about that, what we're talking about. He will guard your heart and your mind from those runaway thoughts, from what the world and the enemy is throwing on you. Hello? I mean, you'll be in the eye of the storm, and you'll be in that peaceful place even though it rages around you. But there is a literal meaning that is happening here when he says his peace will guard you. You see, Remember, Paul's writing to the Philippians, right? And this is the first century. And when he said guard, when he was talking about he'll guard your heart, that Greek word is a military term. It's a military word. And what it means is a garrison of troops. Think about that for a moment. He will guard, he will surround you in a way that it looks like a garrison of troops are surrounding you. And he's going to protect you. He's going to guard your heart and your mind. Do you hear me? Would you stand with me? Maybe a little too comfortable. Get the blood moving. I mean, really think about that. When you, and I want to remind you, what is the key? The key is that you are in Jesus. And when you are in Jesus, he's going to surround your mind, and he's going to keep it from racing and going and the battle going on. He's going to guard your heart to where, I mean, when those situations come in, yeah, initially there may be a response. Initially, man, your heart may be, feels like it's beating out of your chest, whatever the case may be. But if you just stay in him and don't grow weary, God will take care of you.
I hope and pray that this message ministered to you today. Remember, if you would like to see what's going on or want more information about us, just go to OdessaFirstAssembly.com. And of course, you can find us on all the socials, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. God bless you.